Seems like I'm always being told to take my feet off the furniture, put a coaster under my beer, turn the TV down. I used to make the rules, and now I have to follow them. I don't know what's bugging me. I guess it's not easy for a guy like me to not be in charge.
And that's from Frasier. And it is really hard as you're getting older to realize that your kids may need to take care of you more. Maybe you move in with them. Maybe they have to take you to doctor's appointments. And it's that have to that's so painful for both parties. It's painful for the adult child because they don't want to look at their parents as a duty, assuming that they love them. And yet it doesn't fit in with the rhythm of their regular life. And it's very painful for the parent who always had the role of being in charge and setting the rules. This is bedtime. This is when you brush your teeth. And suddenly the roles have shifted and the parent feels like he's an intruder in his kid's home. How do you deal with that? That's one of the many things we can talk about. Perhaps you have good communication skills and maybe it's okay to put the coaster under, but you can put your feet up a little bit, assuming your shoes aren't all muddy or you have your shoes on. So maybe you could work out the rules together. And it's not that different from working with young kids. You need communication skills. The only difference there is you don't have two adults. You have two kids. And right now I want to welcome Terry to the show. I'm Dr. Ellen Kenner on the Rational Basis of Happiness, a clinical psychologist. Terry, welcome to the show. And you're having problems with your three-year-old.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, tell me what's going on.
Well, I'll try to make it short. His mother is not in the picture and hasn't been since November, but he took that all signs very well. Didn't ask hardly anything about her, doesn't mention her, so I didn't see too much trauma with that. The only time that he does mention her is if he gets disciplined or something like that, which would seem to be normal. But
yeah.
The reports I'm getting back from daycare is that anytime he is told or asked to do something, he is very willing and does that. His personality, they're saying, hey, look, what are you doing with this kid at home? He's a great kid. I wish all of them were that way. And that just is just reconfirmation. I knew he was, but
right.
Here recently in the last couple of weeks, it seems that he's had a personality change. He is crying at a drop of a hat. He's getting very upset over very small issues. Normally, I could, as long as I would explain it to him as much as you could to a 2.5-3-year-old,
right.
He would actually take that instruction. As long as it was told to him what was fixing to happen, he would accept that. And even along that lines, now he is, of course, testing the limits. But there seems to be a really hard personality switch that's happened, and I'm at a loss because, you know, I nurture him and we have a routine. We're structured at home. We do lessons.
Yeah.
We try to do, you know, everything that I can to,
the first piece that, the first point I want to make, Terry, is that you want to still hold on to your images of your child as a sweet kid rather than he had a hard personality change, even if you're observing that, because that sweet kid is still there someplace. Something has gone off base in the last couple of weeks, and meaning you don't want to cast your kid in a hard role in cement. Like, this is the whiner, and this is the naggy kid, and this is the kid who's shy, and this is the kid who's bumbling. Typeset our kids in negative ways, it's much harder for us and for them to break out of that. So you want to remember that sweetness and look for moments when that happens. So that's the first point. The second point is, you've probably done this many times, turning things over in your mind. What has changed in the last week? Or you said, when did it start?
No, it's been a couple of weeks.
What changed within the last couple of weeks?
Well, that's just it. You know, I'm pretty aware of the events that transpire in our lives, because it's just us, and it's my responsibility now. So I'm pretty aware of things that are going on, and there's really been nothing out of the normal that's happened that would, you know, point me in that direction. You know, this is what's happened. Oh, yeah.
Okay, so there's no trauma. There's no kid in school who said something like, you don't have a mommy, or anything like that.
Well, and you know, now that you say that, I did think about that, is that when he's in daycare, he may be picking up on other children's negativity, or they're acting out.
Right, kids do.
That's the only thing I can think of.
Right, kids do mimic new behavior. We all do it. If I see someone dancing prettier than I can dance, guess what I do in private? I mimic it, right? So yeah. Whether it's good or whether it's bad, it's new. And when I do role plays in therapy, I'm a person who's pretty low-keyed. And when I do role plays in therapy and I take the role of a mean person or a real angry person, it's a new role for me, and I try it out. Well, kids are just learning. He's only 3 years old, and he's exploring. He's exploring. Maybe he's been on the receiving end of someone saying, you're stupid, or something like that, or I don't have to do it. Now, that's a third point I want to make. If he's saying, I don't have to do this, or I don't want to do this, what has he just discovered?
You tell me.
Well, if I asked you if you want sardine ice cream, right? No, if I said to you, Terry, I've got some sardine ice cream for you to eat, what might you say to me?
That I don't particularly like that.
Well, you got to try it. I'm the parent.
Oh.
You discovered your own mind, your own preferences, your own desires, your ability, a child's ability to say no. If done properly, if you have the right parenting mindset, is actually their discovery of their independence. It's not a huge negative. You don't want a kid who's always licking your boots and saying yes to everything you say.
Yeah, you're right.
So another point is, okay, what do you do? If you're like most parents, we all try to discipline, we try to do the right thing, and it blows up in our face. We try to be sweet, it backfires. We try to put our foot down, it backfires. And one author called this a mutual frustration society for the parent and the kids. You're perpetual enemies, and you don't want to get locked in that mindset with your own child. And you've luckily had a long period of being a single dad, but having a very good history with one another. So if can you give me one quick example of something your son said no to? That he usually goes along with.
Yes, but I'm going to tell off on myself.
Okay.
I've recently, under self-reflection, pretty much chastised myself for not strapping him in his car seats and different things like that, taking chances. So I know that's my fault, but he has, like you had stated, he has come out with his own opinion or made up his mind. Hey, look, you know, I don't want this. And that's the first thing that comes to mind, because it's an immediate thing that he's been saying.
He's not used to sitting in a car seat. Now he has to sit in the car seat because
the car seat he's sitting in, the straps he does not like.
That's
not a really good example, because that is directly
right.
My fault.
Okay. But your honesty will serve you well, because you can change that around. So here's what happens. If he says, I don't want the seat strapped in, and if you say, well, I'm sorry, but you have to do it. We have to go now. Get in the seat right now. Listen to me. I'm your dad. You know, it sounds nice, and it's all bad parenting. It's going to backfire on you, because he'll say no. So instead of that, he can say, I don't want to get in the seat now with the belt on. Honey, I hear it. I hear that as I'm clipping the belt, I will know that you don't want to be in the seat right now. What did I just do differently?
Set boundaries.
What?
You set boundaries. I mean,
I listened to him. I used a skill from a parenting book that made me a phenomenal, much better parent than I ever would have been. I would have been a lousy parent. It's how to talk so kids will listen, and listen so kids will talk. It's on my website, terrydrkenner.com. The skill I just used was granting his wish in fantasy. I hear how much you don't want to use your seatbelt. I wish for your sake I could say you don't, and I'll know that you're really sad or upset about it as I'm clipping it on, and here's your little teddy to keep you company. Listen,
I know we're right at the end of time.
If you want to hang on, I'll speak with you during the break. Terry, go to my website, drkenner.com, and you can see that book. I'm Dr. Ellen Kenner on The Rational Basis of Happiness.
Here's an excerpt from The Selfish Path to Romance by Dr. Ellen Kenner.
When searching for a potential soulmate, eliminate anyone in whose presence you feel constant friction, annoyance, resentment, anxiety, or self-doubt due to differences in values, personality, habits, tastes, interests, and so on. If you feel like this during the dating process, the problems will get worse. Of those remaining in your potential love pool, pay special attention to anyone who makes you feel fully visible and is a joy to be with, assuming it's not false flattery. Then decide if you can ignore any habits, taste, and personality traits you don't care for. Are these trade-offs minor or fundamental to you? Are they likely to grow or diminish in importance? Things that bother you a little at first may bother you more later. This is another reason not to rush into a permanent relationship.
You can download Chapter 1 for free at drkenner.com, and you can buy the book at amazon.com.